for our scripture reading here this morning, let's go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 7 for our scripture reading. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Verse 4, God's word starts by saying this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And let's pray. Father, we want this scripture to teach us. We want this scripture to change us. There's something that we need to learn about prayer. And Father, I just pray that you will lead us to that truth here this morning. I pray that you bless the words that I'm about to say. I hide behind the cross, and I take absolutely no glory, because when lives are changed, Lord, it's all because you have changed them. And I thank you for that. One life you need to change here this morning, Lord, is my own. So I just ask, Lord, that you do what you do best, transform lives. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, we are in week number 5 on this sermon series on the power of prayer. And as I was looking over my notes, I think we're only going to go one more week, so next week will be the final week on the series. But in the series, we're in a quest to understand that the power that prayer can have, if we do it, and we do it in the way that's outlined by God's word. James 5:16 tells us this: the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And that's our goal in this series. We want to know that our prayers can be powerful and effective. Let me ask this question. I asked it last week. Would you like your prayers to be powerful and effective? Yes. Amen. And we're on a search to find out, what does that mean? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? Well, here's what we've learned so far over the first 4 weeks. Week number 1, we are commanded to pray. It's not optional and it's not a suggestion. It is a command. We need to pray. Week number 2, we are taught that Christians could have intentional and unconfessed sins in our lives that could make God not listen to the prayers that we offer up to him. So we want to make sure that we confess our sins. Week number 3, we don't want to be hypocritical with our prayers. We don't want to stand around saying, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm praying. I'm the one that's praying. Hey, I'm the one on the street corner, look at me. It's not a look at me thing. Jesus tells us the opposite. Go into our room where we can be not in the focus of anybody else. And then last week, week number 4, we said we must take a tip from Jesus and make sure that our prayers include praise and thanks, contrition, which is confession, and supplication. Supplication. I'm going to get into that word here in a second. We have concluded from last week's message that our prayers must, or at least should, include thanks and praise, confession, and we used the word tip, T-I-P. We said, let's take a tip from Jesus. We went back to the disciples' prayer, which said this: T, we need to give thanks to the Lord, thanks and praise. I, we kept it simple, I'm sorry. So that was confession and contrition. We wanted to say, I'm sorry, Lord, for the sins that I've committed. And the P was please, please. So here's the question that we're going to ask today. What should we ask for? If we're going to say, please, Lord, What should we ask for when we pray? So let's examine the scriptures here this morning and find out exactly what we can or cannot pray for, things that we should pray for or maybe should not pray for. So let's immediately go to our fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin, and we got, I think, about six of them here this morning. So let's go to our first one, and the first one, and we'll talk about that, says this: the Bible commands us to pray for specific needs. Pray for specific needs. Now, what do I mean by specific? I'm talking about things that the Bible says we need to pray for this. One example, Matthew 5:44 says this, and this is Jesus, once again, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44, he says this: but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. Wait a second. Pray for those who persecute you? Do I have to? There's a part of me, the human condition part of me, kind of really doesn't want to pray for people who persecute me. And if you're like me, I'd rather pray for me than pray for those who persecute me. Let me give you an example. You know, Facebook has opened up all kinds of things to me. It's been so wonderful. I will not run out of things to preach about for the next, like, 10 years. You read some of the things that people say, which are very uplifting and encouraging. You can preach on those. And you read about things that are so idiotic and stupid. And you can preach on those, too. But I had a lady post something on one, or she posted on one of my posts, and I said, that's got to be one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard before in my life. So I share it with my wife, Gail. And what does she say? Because in a very simple sort of way, this person was persecuting my thoughts about God's word. And so I shared it with Gail, and I said, what do you think about that? She said this, we need to pray for her. I don't want to pray for her. I want to let her have it. So we sat there and we prayed right there. She says, you need to be uplifting and encouraging, because if she's been hurt by someone within Christianity, your unkind words are not going to help at all. She was right. We need to pray for those who persecute us, don't we? I saw this post by a pastor on Facebook this week. It was really good. And he said this, and I quote, I find it sad that we often find it easier to judge people than it is to pray for them. Oh, boy. You know, so I just got smacked all week, you know, with this praying for people thing. So we got to conclude by saying this. Maybe we need to quit judging those people that we don't like, and maybe we need to start praying for those people that we don't like. Or better yet, maybe we should just start loving those people that we don't like. I think Jesus would agree with that. Amen? And here's another one that I found in the Bible. It's very similar. Luke 6:28. Jesus commands us this. He says this: bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. So now I got to pray for people who persecute me. I got to pray for people who mistreat me. I wonder how many of us, me included, pray for people who fall into those categories. Do you have people in your life that mistreat you or persecute you to some degree? I know I do. And we're supposed to pray for them? Yes. So the Bible does tell us we need to pray for specific things. Let me give you one more. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And that verse is on the front of your bulletin. It's even on the front of Kim's bulletin. And it says this. And I'm just going to read the B part of verse 18. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we are commanded to pray for all the Lord's people. Who would be all the Lord's people? That'd be Christians. That'd be us. So not only do we have to pray for those people we don't like, those people who persecute us and mistreat us, we have to pray for each other too. And that's a good thing. Come on, let's face it. We're humans, right? We have the human condition. It's a whole lot easier for me to pray for Kay Campbell than it is to pray for somebody who's persecutes me, right? You know, because, hey, she's a sister in Christ. You know, I can pray for her. Jesus kind of makes that prayer thing a little tough, doesn't he? But he's always right. Amen? He's always right. So, the Bible does command us. There are some specific things we need to pray for. Let's go to our second fill in the blank. The Bible commands us to pray for our needs. Our needs. Oh, that's pretty simple. And that's one that we can all relate to, right? Praying for our needs. And we just read that in our scripture lesson this morning, Philippians 4:6, just that one particular verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Wow, what a great statement that is. Every situation. It says, in every situation, but in every situation. So what does every situation mean? Here's Mike's definition of every situation. It means this. Every situation. Every situation. Well, we do that here every Sunday. We get quite a diverse amount of requests. We pray for ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. We pray for others. Nothing wrong with that. And so we have the opportunity to pray for each other. We all have different situations in our lives that we can bring before God. And let me remind us all of this. We don't have to wait till Sunday morning here in this circle to pray. You can pray when you're at home. You can pray when you're driving your car. There is no time when you cannot pray. And your request can be from the small to the minute, all the way up to what we seem to look at as the impossible. We serve the God of the impossible, do we not? Why do we not take our impossible request to a God of the possible? That's what I say. And why do we do just the opposite? You know, this little mini request, oh, I don't want to bother God with that one. He doesn't want to hear that. Every situation. Yes, he does. Oh, Lord, I just got this little shoulder pain. You know, it's not bad. Or, you know, why don't we give that to him? Why not? Why not? Oh, he's too busy because he's working on John Doe's impossible prayer. He can work on them all at the same time. The big ones and the small ones. But sometimes we don't pray because we feel like, why should I give God that? Nothing is over his head. Everything is under his feet. Amen? Amen. There's many key words in that, just that one verse that I read. And may I point out that the verse does say this. But in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Oh, we must present our request to God. Oh, how easy is that with thanksgiving? Well, the best way I can explain that is it's story time with Pastor Mike. And the story goes like this. I wish I could go back to October of last year and make some different decisions. Did you ever wish that? Did you ever wish you could go back in time? Turn back the hands of time and not do this. Not say this. So my life would be a whole lot different now. Well, I can't do that. And as you know, I ran into some situations with my eyes, a detached retina and everything. And I'm not used to being down. So it was and still is a very difficult time in my life where I'm going through these physical things. And I have this verse. I have it on my computer desktop. You know, so every time I turn my computer on, there it is. Philippians 4 through 7. It's right there. And every day I was reading that thing. And every day I was reading that thing. Because I was so far down in the dumps. And I said, every situation. Lord, I have every situation. And then one day I read that verse and it said, with thanksgiving. Wait a second. My life isn't really good here. And I got to find something to thank you for while I'm going through this miserable situation that I'm going through. You've been there? Been there? So here's what I had to do. Lord, I'm praying for my eye because I have a detached retina. It's not seeing very good or anything. But praise you and thank you because my other eye sees so well. Now, that wasn't very difficult now, was it? I still had 50%. Somewhere, when we're lifting up requests, every situation to God, we need to find something that we can thank Him for, except wallow in our own misery. And trust me, my friends, if there's anybody that's really good at doing that, it's the guy that's standing in front of you right now. Okay? A lot of times we do that. Oh, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Let's find something to thank the Lord about. A similar verse that teaches us to pray for our needs is, Ephesians verse 6, chapter 6, verse 18. The first part of that. The first part of that verse, and that's kind of like the A part, says this: and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. What does that mean? All occasions, all kinds of prayers, all kinds of requests. And that covers quite a bit of ground, doesn't it? All kinds. I can pray for me, and there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. I can pray for you, and there's certainly nothing wrong with me praying for you. I can pray for this church. I can pray for the weather. I can pray for a job situation. I can pray for a financial situation. I can pray for anything as long as, let's cut it off right here, it's not sinful and it's not contrary to the Word of God. Okay? We don't pray for sinful situations. We don't pray for situations that are contrary to the Word of God. I need to share this story with you. I had a friend of mine that I was going to church with, and it came to light that this man in this church was having an adulterous affair with this woman in the same church. Okay? Well, it ended up that, his marriage probably wasn't the best, and her marriage probably wasn't the best, but I think the first thing God's Word tells us is to try to make it work, okay? All right, try to make these difficult situations work. Well, they didn't. He ended up getting divorced, she ended up getting divorced, and they ended up marrying each other. And shortly after that, I saw the two of them, and he said this: God brought us together. You know what? God does not tell you to commit adultery with this woman over here. And if you're praying for something like that, that is something you should not be praying for. You should be praying for your marriage to get reconciled. That's what you need to be praying for. I couldn't agree with him. I said, it is what it is now. I can't change the past. But I think you made some poor judgments and some bad mistakes. God doesn't do that. He is not going to lead me into an adulterous situation, and I don't pray to have one or any other sin. Okay? We good so far? Now let's move on. I believe what we've covered so far is pretty basic, and it's pretty simple. There are many things that we should be, different things that we should be praying for. So let me just stop and ask this, just a question you need to answer to yourself. Do you believe your prayers are powerful and effective? Now, you need to answer that, whatever that answer might be. Yes, I think they are, Mike, or no, I don't think they are. I don't know, I still need to work through this. And that's okay. A make-believe congregation in a make-believe church did not think that their prayers were powerful and effective. The people in the church said, we need a prayer seminar because we have bad prayer technique. But the pastor said, your technique is not flawed. The people in the church said, we need to know more about what the Bible teaches. But the pastor said that your Bible knowledge is commendable. The people in the church said, well, we have weak wills. But the pastor said, your wills are strong. And the people in the church said, we have a lack of concern. But the pastor said, your concern is admirable. Then the pastor said this to the church: oh, dear church, the problem isn't poor technique or a lack of Bible understanding or a weak will or a lack of concern. Our prayers are not powerful or effective because we believe they really don't matter. Is this you? Is this me? Is this us? In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus comes to his hometown in Nazareth. And the Bible tells us that he did not do very many miracles there because of their lack of faith. I say this, I believe a lack of faith is the same as saying that my prayers will never make a difference. And if they're not going to make a difference, then why should I pray anyways? Do we believe that our prayers can and will make a difference? I'll be the first one to say this. I am not Mr. Health, Wealth, Prosperity standing in front of you. That is not me. I am not Mr. Word Faith, where my faith can do whatever they say it can do. I will say this. I believe what the Bible teaches. So let's go over a few points what the Bible teaches us about what our prayer life should be like. In Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, Jesus is telling a parable to the crowd. And he says this, that there was this neighbor, and it was midnight. There's a guy here sleeping in his house, and a guy over here sleeping in his house. And this guy gets a visitor. And this guy, being a good host, needs to feed this visitor. So, but he doesn't have anything to feed him with. So he goes over here to this neighbor and starts knocking on the door. Hey, neighbor, I need some bread. I just got a visitor, and I need to feed him something. And it says this. Jesus concludes by saying this. This guy isn't going to give him the bread just because he's his neighbor. He's going to give him bread because he was bold enough to show up at midnight and ask for it. So what's the point? Next fill in the blank. We pray with boldness. We pray with boldness. This doesn't mean that we are cocky, and this doesn't mean that we are demanding. And remember, we are not the master, and Jesus is not the genie. Hebrews 4:16 does tell us this, that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Going back to Psalm 55, let's see if I can get there real quick. I just read that earlier. Psalm 55, how did David start off this psalm? He started off this psalm by saying this. Listen to my prayer, O God, and do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. I can just see him pounding his fist on the table. Hear me and answer me. I think that's pretty bold. And here's the good part about it. That's the way we're told to pray. To pray with boldness. The next fill in the blank. I got this from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Jesus is telling another parable. And this one's about a widow. And she wants justice. So she goes to the judge, who is an unjust judge. And she says, I want justice. Well, he doesn't give it to her. She keeps on going back. I want justice. Keeps on going back. Until the judge finally says this. You know what? I'll paraphrase. I need to get this lady out of my life. I'm just going to give her exactly what she wants. Give her the justice so she doesn't bother me anymore. Now that's Mike's paraphrase. So what's the point? What's Jesus trying to tell us? That we pray with persistence. We pray with persistence. You know, I can't believe that there are some pastors who say, just pray it one time and that's it. You don't have to say anymore. And that ain't what Jesus is saying. He's saying pray with persistence. The widow kept on going back. How often do we just say things one time and say, Lord, this is what I need. Okay, you know it. That's it. You know, I'll be back here in a little bit. The beginning of that parable says this, that Jesus taught them this parable because they ought how they ought to pray and what? Never give up. Sounds like Jim Valvano. Who remembers Jim Valvano? What was his one line that he used to say all the time? Never give up. And that's in a sports arena. Let's talk about the biblical arena. So, hey, same advice. Don't give up. We have someone, something we need to pray for ourselves, a loved one, a family member. Don't give up. I don't know how many prayers are unanswered because we give up. I don't claim to understand the sovereign plan of God. But I'll just ask this. Are you willing to take that chance? You ask once and then we just never ask again? Are we like that make-believe church that thinks that their prayers don't matter anyways? Next fill in the blank. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We all know this one. One of the shortest verses in the Bible. Depends on what translation. It's either two words or three words. Pray without ceasing. And that's our fill in the blank. So the verse says pray without ceasing, or pray continuously, or pray continually. Pray without ceasing. So how should we pray? We pray without ceasing. I believe if we truly knew that our prayers could make a difference, we would be praying all the time. I know that I should. How about you? Don't you think we should be praying at least more often than what we do? Well, I pray on Sundays and I pray when I get up in the morning, or I pray before I go to bed. There's a whole lot of time in between the time you get up and the time you go to bed. Amen? A whole lot of time that you're probably doing nothing, watching TV or on Facebook. You know, all right. Would, you know, maybe I ought to get my eyes out of Facebook and into my prayer closet. You know, oh man. Maybe I should. Maybe I should. But we need to pray without ceasing. All the time. And that doesn't mean it's 24-7. We can't do that. We have jobs. We have work. We have things we need to do. But it does say that we need to pray continuously. So let's sum up what we've learned so far. What should I ask for when I pray? Well, we need to pray for our enemies and those who mistreat us. We can pray for ourselves. Or for others, certainly do that. We can pray for situations. We can pray boldly. We should pray boldly. We pray persistently, and we need to pray continuously. Now, one more. I'm going to go to the book of James, and I actually want to read this whole thing because I want to make sure that we get the context of it. James chapter 4, 2 through 4. And James says this: you want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So our sixth and final fill in the blank says this: do not pray. So we talked about what to pray for, how to pray, but here's one do not. Do not pray for worldly pleasures or things that are contrary to the Word of God. Do not pray for sinful situations to happen in your life, because God's not going to respond or answer those. We need to pray for those things that are pleasing to God and are that are according to His Word and according to His will. James is saying here that we have not because we ask not. And I want to take that statement to the next level and ask all of us a question, with me being the first one in line. Do we not ask because we believe our prayers are never going to make a difference anyways? That doesn't sound like a very powerful and effective prayer life to me. To give up before it ever started. I said last week, and I'm going to end with this. I said last week, next week, I'm going to put a challenge out there for you. Who remembers me saying that? I'm going to challenge the congregation to something. Here's the challenge. It's actually two challenges. Two challenges. The first is this. And this is something I'm guilty of, but I'm trying to get better at it. Do you ever have a conversation with somebody, whoever, a person that you know, a church person, whoever it might be, and they're talking about a difficult situation that's going on in their life? And you, being the good Christian person that you are, will say this, hey, I'll pray for you. You finish your conversation and you walk away. I wonder what the percentage is of the time when that person never prays for that person. Challenge number one, if you say you're going to pray for somebody, pray for them right then and there. Now, there's a challenge. Oh, Kay, you're going through this and you're like, well, I'll pray for you. No, I'm going to pray for you right now. How about that? How much would that change me? I don't know how much it'll change her. How much is it going to change me? Or I stop everything I'm doing and say, and don't make some kind of false promise. Do it. Pray for that person right then and there on the spot. Oh, I'll pray for you. If we go back home or get back in our car and pray, that's great. But how much more meaningful is it to Kay if I pray for her? Hey, Kay, I want to do this for you right now. Let's pray. You got a tough situation. I'm praying for you right now. Instead of promising that you will and probably don't. Challenge number one. Challenge number two. And this is the one that I thought of last week. Beech Grove Church, I love this church. No other place I'd rather be. We are not everything to everybody. I understand that. We don't have the resources to do that. A lot of large churches can have this program, and do them all very well. That's not us. I think the thing that we excel at in ministry, we are a generous church. We are generous. We sit over there in those board meetings, and we give a lot of money and resources to people who need things. Get to the food bank, Hunters for the Hungry, the food bank, Samaritan's Purse. Every month we're giving money away, and it seems like every month when we look at the numbers, how much money we have just keeps on going up. Now, that's God's mathematics for you. Seems like we always put out more than what we have coming in, but yet the number keeps on going up. I don't know how that works. I'll let God figure that one out. But we're a generous church. The best ministry that this church has going on, as collectively as a group, is our ministry of generosity. And that's a great ministry to have. A lot of other churches don't have that. Either financially they can't afford it, or for whatever reason. Let's add a second one to that. Let's have a second good ministry. Let's have a ministry of prayer. Let's be prayer warriors. Let's say that not only can we be generous with our finances as a church, but be the type of people that somebody else can say, you know what, people in that Beech Grove church, they pray. And I'm not saying that everything we pray for will come to pass. That's next week. We'll talk about that next week. But I'm just saying this, that if somebody comes to a person at Beech Grove, they know that that person at Beech Grove Church will pray for them. Can we be good at a second thing? I think we can. No, I know we can. I know we can be prayer warriors at this church. Doesn't take much. Takes no finances at all, does it? No money. Nothing. All it takes is time, a little bit of dedication, and desire. Do you want to do this? I want to do this. Maybe somewhere down the line, Beech Grove Church, not saying that I want our church to have a reputation for something, or it's not something that we do. Let's allow God to work in us and become the prayer warriors that we need to be. So I'll ask this question. What would this church be like if everyone in this church prayed exactly like you do? That can go either way, can it? Let's make it go this way. We are people of prayer. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? It'll start with me. If it doesn't start with the leader, it usually doesn't catch on. This whole sermon series has just upended me. And I will say this. Every time I think about what I'm going to say, and I think about I need to pray more often, guess who's right there? The enemy. You don't want to pray. You don't want to pray. You don't want to pray. We can't let him win, can we? We can't let him win. Prayer. Today we talked about things that we do need to pray for, and that's a very wide scope of things. Next week we're going to talk about, we'll finish up talking about unanswered prayer. Oh, gee. Let's go to God in prayer.